Chapter 22. They stare at the enormous Imperial ships. Everyone's breathing through open mouths. Hearts are beating hard. Everyone except C-3PO, of course, who finds both respiration and circulation superfluous. Still, he's more scared than the rest of them combined.
Okay,
Han says.
Ready for light speed.
Any minute now, Leia mutters. Then out of the blackness of space, a laser blast rocks the Falcon. They've been spotted.
Hold on,
Han bellows.
One, two.
Leia looks in trepidation as another laser bolt screams toward them.
Three.
The four space travelers look expectantly at the stars. Nothing. Again.
It's not fair,
Han whines. The blast rocks the ship, rattling the gears and bolts and cylinders. C-3PO is frantic.
Sir, the shields are at 40%. Another hit like that and we're done for.
Han looks at his meter readings.
Okay, Chewie, give me all power to the forward shields. I'm going in.
You're going to attack them? Leia shrieks. The Millennium Falcon dives at the nearest Star Destroyer. Bright green blasts light up the space around them.
Sir, the odds of surviving a direct attack on an Imperial Star Destroyer are...
Shut up, Leia shouts. But in case you want to know, the odds of the Falcon surviving an attack on an Imperial Star Destroyer are about the same as the odds of a lame half-blind bunny surviving an attack on a hungry tiger. Give or take. The ship dives at the destroyer, lasers blazing. It is one brave bunny. On the bridge of the Imperial Star Destroyer, Captain Nita, commander of the vessel, grins.
We have them now.
The Falcon hurtles through space, aiming directly, it seems, for the viewing deck of the bridge. Closer it comes. Closer. Closer.
Fire!
He cries. But the red laser blast misses. The Falcon is coming too fast. Too low. The captain's face goes white. The Falcon is 100 meters away. 80. 60. 40. 20. Duck! Screams the captain. He throws himself to the floor, as if that would do any good. His face is pressed against the cold, sheer steel, waiting for impact. Nothing. When he looks up at last, the sky is empty. Just a million crystalline stars.
Where are they?
Nita bellows. Behind him, his lieutenants check their readings frantically.
We can't find them, sir. They've just disappeared.
What? Nonsense. Where are they?
But they search the readings to no avail. The Falcon is gone. An hour later, brave Captain Nita boards a shuttle that takes him from his Star Destroyer to the flagship of the fleet. As he disembarks, his stomach twists into a knot. He listens to his own footsteps echo along the glossy floors of the Imperial ship. He's been a good captain, he tells himself. Everything will be fine. When he arrives at the bridge, he finds Darth Vader addressing a motley collection of space creatures. There is a Tadoshok, a Gand, and a Corellian cyborg, among others. You might not know what any of those look like, but trust me, they're weird. Just imagine some weird dude standing around listening to Vader. Oh yeah. And they're carrying guns. Lots of guns. They're bounty hunters, by the way. They specialize in tracking hard-to-find pilots and their ships. In one corner, standing apart, is a man in a battered, dirty spacesuit. His name is Boba Fett. He knows the Falcon from its days on Tatooine, and he knows the Empire is not the only one who wants it found. That there is money to be made twice on this ship. He also knows the man who captains it, and how he thinks. Darth Vader senses Captain Nita's presence. He stops speaking.
Lord Vader,
the captain says. He can feel his neck beginning to constrict. Calm yourself, he thinks. When the Dark Lord turns, His cape sweeps out behind him, like a storm cloud covering the sun.
What is it, Captain?
The captain represses a shudder.
We've lost them.
The grip on his throat is no less painful for being invisible. The air stops flowing to his lungs. Blood ceases circulating in his brain. His eyesight fades to white.
Apology accepted,
Vader murmurs, and turns back to the bounty hunters. Stormtroopers swoop in to dispose of Captain Nita's body. The Millennium Falcon perches on the back of former Captain Nita's Star Destroyer. Just behind its main radar tower, too close to be seen. They say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Han Solo is demonstrating the truth of that adage in the extreme. Well, Leia admits reluctantly, staring at the bristling gun turret that would be aimed directly at them, if only its operator knew where they were. That was a neat trick.
I don't know what you're talking about,
C-3PO complains.
Captain Solo, you have gone too far. No, Chewbacca, I will not be quiet. Surrender is a perfectly acceptable alternative in extreme circumstances. The Empire may be gracious
after you.
Leia reaches over and shuts off C-3PO's audio output speakers. He flails his arms in fury. Han smiles and leans back in his chair, his hands cradled behind his head. Now, the princess continues, how do we get off?
These cruisers like to dump their space junk before jumping into hyperspace. We'll wait for that and float away with the trash.
That suits this ship, Leia mutters.
Hey.
And then? Assuming your garbage camouflage holds up? Han leans forward.
Then, we've got to find a safe port around here to complete repairs. Any ideas?
Chewbacca brings up an electronic map on the ship's main control panel. The small crew pores over it. Han groans.
A NOAAD system. Nothing around here but mining colonies, and...
He pauses. He is suddenly interested.
And Lando?
The Lando system, Leia interjects. Never heard of it.
Lando's not a system, he's a man,
Han says, warming to the idea.
Lando Calrissian. He's a card player, gambler, scoundrel. You'd like him.
I don't like scoundrels.
You like me?
No, I don't.
Han ignores her. He's on Bespin. Runs a gas mining colony there. Won it in a card game. We go way back, Lando and me. Well, that was a long time ago, Chewie.
What was?
Nothing.
So you can trust him?
Trust him? No. But he's got no love for the Empire. I can tell you that much.
Chewbacca lets out a warning bark as he reads the ship's sensors. They all brace themselves. In a slow avalanche, a mountain of junk, broken machinery, damaged steel, effluent, garbage, floats out into space. The Falcon detaches from the surface of the destroyer and floats away with it. The small crew watches the great warship. They are barely breathing. The Imperial Star Destroyer fires up its engines and then, boom, takes off into hyperspace. Han smiles. Leia lays a hand on his shoulder. You do have your moments, she says. Not many, but you have them. Han prides himself on keeping things pretty cool, but with Leia's hand on his shoulder and her compliment ringing in his ears, his cool heart beats just a little harder. Once the Star Cruiser fleet has completely disappeared, the Falcon powers up its engines and leaves the field of space junk, charting a course for Lando's colony on Bespin. A few minutes later, a small ship, the Slave One, nestled among the space junk and filthy with the desert sands of a distant planet called Tatooine, powers up, wends its way through the detritus, and silently follows the Millennium Falcon.